Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you've been hurt in a car accident or slip and fall, then call the Law Offices of Seltzer Mayberg at 855-5000-LAW or go to onecalllegal.com. Mention 5 Reasons Sports to get a free consultation. With 24/7 availability, they'll make sure you work directly with an attorney to get you the compensation that you deserve. Once again, 855-5000-LAW. That's Seltzer Mayberg. Let me introduce you to another sponsor, BestEver.com. That is BestEver.com. BestEver.com is a fantasy sports simulator that uses real-life data to simulate hypothetical situations. For example, ever wondered if Dan Marino could win a Super Bowl with a top 10 running game? We all have. You can do that with BestEver.com. Let's say the Dolphins are in the running for a big free agent. Just add him to the current team and simulate games to see how it can turn out. Just open a free account and start building your own story and have BestEver.com spit out game stories just for you. BestEver is not only fun to use, but has many uses beyond just curiosity. Go to BestEver.com. That's BestEver.com. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on. Welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And as always, we are brought to you by Manscaped. Use the code 5RSN to receive 20% off of your order. No new Manscaped stories, I suppose. Dead silence.
I was using it right now, actually. I'm sorry. You distracted me.
Okay. We are also brought to you by Biscayne Bay Brewing. Of course, go to their website. If not, you can get their Marlins Lager. Lager.
So bad.
Lager. So bad. Lager.
He didn't use the soft G before. That would have been good.
You can get that at Publix. You can get that at Total Wine. Have it delivered to you via Instacart. Okay, guys. Very near, you know, in the near past, I would say. Calvin Noy got cut, and there was, Twitter was in an uproar. Nobody seemed to know what it meant. I don't think we know what it means yet. We will know, I guess, in about 14 days. But Simon, were you surprised Calvin Noy was just unceremoniously cut, and he seems to be hurt by it too?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I mean, he played pretty well last season. 6.5 sacks, 3-1 game. You know, he was a good player. He was a leader. But clearly they've got a plan. Otherwise, you know, you don't get rid of good players for no reason. I mean, and also he signed he was guaranteed $30 million on that 4-year, $51 million contract. I mean, I always think it's a bit weird when journalists start saying, oh, he's going to get cut. And then you hear, oh, they're trying to trade him. It's like, you've already given the game away, lads. You're going to cut him. Nobody's trading for a guy you know you're going to cut. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought he was an impact player. I thought he played well. And it was a surprise to me. But clearly there was a plan, whether that's a free agency plan. I know Chris is going to talk up a guy he really likes, a guy I'm less keen on, or whether that comes in the draft by the former of Zaven Collins, for example, who seems to fit both the profile really of Van Noy and of Jamie Collins. He could be either or, and would seem to be the perfect fit. So we shall see. But, you know, he was tied third as well in the entire league among non-defensive linemen in total pressures for 28. So, you know, it had a real impact. They clearly want to see more out of Andrew Van Ginkel. You know, and his stats were pretty close on defense to Van Noy's production. He's significantly cheaper. So I have to wait and see how it plays out. But yeah, it was a surprise to me, I think. And, you know, but they want to make £12.5 million worth of cash savings, which they've done. So there you go.
Chris, was it a surprise to you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was definitely a surprise because I thought, I mean, it's not just that he was a leader and, you know, played pretty well. I thought he played pretty well. You know, he could have played a little bit better, actually. But at the same time, first year with the new program, you know, sometimes it takes you a while to ramp up. But really, it was a surprise because I know that he has a good relationship with Brian Flores. So, mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he was dismissed and seems a little bit sour about it. Yeah, that surprises me. But I think that it's really dollars and cents here. It's looking at his production versus what you could spend on a younger. I mean, he's, you know, I hate to keep pointing this out because, you know, some people like, you know, get on me every time I talk about how ageist Miami is under Chris Greer and Brian Flores, but they really are. Mm-hmm. They don't look at like anybody over a certain age, and you know, who was the 130-year-old player that they had,
and they just got rid of him.
I mean, so I mean, that's, it's just simple fact. So he reached a certain age. He played well, pretty well, but he's on a bigger contract. The contract had sort of a 1 year get out kind of window, and they got out. So you know, before they go ahead and plunk more money into him, I guess they just want to see what their other options are. And with this class, I think you pointed out it's a pretty fat class, free agency wise. There's always draft options every year. So maybe, and they've got the luxury of having an Andrew Van Ginkel, who they, you know, who was pretty good and is still pretty cheap and is very young. And he was able to take his Kyle Van Noy's place in the Kansas City game as a left outside linebacker moving over from right side. And I think that with all of that, that's what it is. You know, let's go see what we can do with that money, maybe at other positions. And then take solid options in free agency. But this could be also the start. I mean, you're seeing it around, like, you know, Golden Tate just got released and there, I saw a tweet earlier that was like, he was talking to an NFL executive about the veterans that are going to be cut next week. And it's like, the guy's like, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah. Diana Rossini on NFL Network. She said that, expect a bloodbath, and that's,
yeah. And that's so, her words and you wonder if this is like, these are like the opening salvo of what is really going to possibly shock some people. Like Trent Brown is already being shopped by the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, what if he just gets cut too, because nobody's buying on him. I think you could see this everywhere. Like all these over 30s just getting cut because they're going to be sitting on the market. And all these teams are not going to have as much cap space, so they're going to be a little bit reticent about what they're doing because of the whole cap situation. And then all these veterans collectively are going to have to be accepting, you know, 1 year low money deals. And so somebody's going to get Kyle Van Noy for like $3 million or something like that. You know, like mm-hmm. it's I mean, that's what's good. Maybe not Miami because we're the ones that cut him and he's sour, but but collectively there are options now. And I think that could be what it boils down to.
Yeah. The word is that the Baltimore Ravens are pretty in on him, which kind of suggests that maybe Matthew Judon might be gone. So, you know, that's another name. Yeah. And if you look at that sport track list of edge players, outside linebacker types, it's so chock full of talent that those guys got to find teams. Those are not guys that are going to sit out a year. Those guys are going to play football this year. So there's plenty of options. But let me throw in another reason why this possibly happened. Could it be that they're clearing the skids for Jerome Baker extension, like we talked about on the show a couple of weeks back? I think that bodes well going forward. No, Simon?
I think so. I think he, you know, he's not beloved by a lot of fans, but he's certainly beloved by people that, such as myself and you and Chris, who enjoy what he does. I think he's a solid player. He's a leader. He's a good tackler. He's very good in coverage. You know, those kind of guys are rare. He's got great movement skills, good lateral quickness. He's a good player, Jerome Baker. He never, you know, given his body type, he doesn't really get injured. He's on an awful lot of snaps. He's just a decent player. And you kind of want to extend those guys. You know, there's no point in developing him for 4 years and letting him go. The same with Mike Gesicki. You know, you're going to see that one as well. You know, and it may be that's what they're maneuvering to do to get guys like Gesicki and guys like Baker in with new deals. But there's clearly a plan. You don't cut a Kyle Van Noy now without a plan because they didn't need to get under the cap. They had cap space. So we'll just have to see what it is.
Yeah, Chris?
Now, Baker, I mean, if we're talking about Baker, the thing to keep in mind is maybe they want to change around, restructure a little bit some of the things he's doing, I think, because, you know, you did see that he could pressure and sack the quarterback quite a bit. And so, you know, maybe you want to see more games like the Rams game when he, you know, pass rushed a whole lot, or you know, some other game
where he was a menace. Right.
Yeah, he was a menace in that Chiefs game, and that was the game Kyle Van Noy missed. So yeah. You know, the Jets game, he pass rushed a whole lot. So I think that the first Jets game, I mean, but you could see a little bit of restructuring as far as duties and schematic stuff, as to get Jerome Baker into more dynamic spots, I think. That could be interesting. I don't think Kyle Van Noy's contract was ever going to be the reason that we couldn't get an extension done with Jerome Baker, though. So I think that I do think that they're kind of separate deals. And this is, as Simon says, they didn't need it to get under the cap. So there's a plan in place, and we're just going to have to see what it is.
Yeah, I kind of agree. But there's, you know, when it happened, I felt like, okay, I don't get this right now. But you step away from it a little bit, and you start saying, you know what? I think the benefit of cutting him is actually more than actually keeping him as of right now. If you think about it more long term, and you look at that list of on SportTrack of edge players, where you know, they could actually go in a different direction and maybe go get a pass rush specialist and maybe try to replace Kyle Van Noy in-house. Now, those are 814 snaps that are just not going to go poof. And you can't give the 800 snaps to a guy that plays 796 in Van Ginkel. So we begin there. Simon, how do you start to replace Kyle Van Noy? Because it's either with another expensive guy with his money, or maybe we're going into the draft to replace Kyle Van Noy, but he does need replacing.
Yeah, I think it's probably the draft. I don't necessarily think there are players. You know, it may be that they try and look cheaper. And you've talked about Matthew Judon, and, you know, we've talked privately about, you know, the Bud Dupree's and the, but I just don't see that. I just don't see Miami having the money to do it. You know, Matthew Judon is a really good player, but he's only a year younger than Kyle Van Noy, and will probably command a, you know, I mean, his 2020 average is 16 million, 808,000. So he's going to be commanding more cash than Kyle Van Noy. You know, so I think it remains to be seen who that might be. You know, do they take a flyer on someone like a Leonard Floyd, for example? Slightly different position, but again, 29 years of age, it's difficult to see where it's going to come in free agency. People have talked about Hassan Reddick, but you know, I'd be extremely fearful of a guy who didn't play very well for his first three seasons and then became a tearaway in a contract year after Arizona decided not to extend him the fifth year of his contract. So I personally think it's going to be the draft, but then the expectation then is that you are hoping a kid comes in and really plays 400 or 500 defensive snaps, and you know that's a rare thing, you know, especially when you're looking at some players who, you know, have opted out of the season, some linebackers who opted out who might fit schematically. So yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks there, but as we keep saying, you know, we don't know what it is, but there clearly is some sort of plan. It just remains to be seen what it is and how it plays out. And it may be more of a kind of a by committee approach rather than just having Baker and Van Noy as they seem to do so often last season.
Yeah, and judging by Twitter and seeing the McCourty twins talking about, you know, bringing Kyle Van Noy back and putting the band back together, you know, it doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies. Let me just say that. Just see that Patriot defense rounding back into form. But Chris, yeah,
I wouldn't mind it. Go ahead and get older. Go bring all the old guys back. You know, when you're going with Cam Newton at quarterback, and you know, and whoever else is going to be at quarterback, God knows who, because it's going to be a carousel this year. But you know, go ahead and get old guys to surround if they draft some new young quarterback. It's not a good fit. It's not a good fit for the development of that team.
So, yeah, the other way to look at it too is that, you know, we split with them last year, but they got dominated by Buffalo. If they could take a game off of Buffalo, you know, that actually helps us in the long run if they get a little bit better, because we always split with them no matter what. But yeah, how do you replace Kyle Van Noy, Chris? Like, do you have any ideas? Do you think you know where they're going with this so far?
No, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this by any means. But I think that they have options, and I think that the options aren't, you know, it could be the draft, and that's Miami's. I think their default is, yeah, we're building through the draft. So it could be very well be that, but if it's free agency, you know, I tend to agree with Simon. Hassan Reddick, there's a little bit of buyer beware there. You know, struggling for years, and then they rescind the fifth year option, and then all of a sudden his free agent year, he goes off for like he did, and they just went ahead and got JJ Watt, which means that they're not actually even trying to keep him, keep pace on Reddick. So buyer beware there. Matt Judon, you know, again, are they going to spend a ton of money? The guy had looked at, there's two guys. One, we already know that Brian Flores had a thing, tried to get Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact, right? I mean, and I'm sorry, you know, I don't know what he's going
to
get paid.
He was supposed to be in the Tunsil deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he basically showed up at the last minute at the facility, and he's like, no, not Miami, you know, because he thought Miami was going to be awful and rebuilding.
Which they were.
So now you fast forward, and it's like, I think that if he still got it for Jadeveon Clowney, then you could see that, and it would fit. It would definitely fit. Now, is Jadeveon Clowney? The biggest thing I'm always worried about with Jadeveon Clowney is, you know, he doesn't play, because, you know, I'm not worried about him too much on the field. I know that he wasn't productive on the stat sheet this year, but I watched him play, and he wasn't that bad. I thought he played pretty well. I thought he still has, you know, that physical, you know, physical look to him. So I think they could explore that. He's 29 years old, or he'll be about 29 years old. It's not really in Miami's, you know, wheelhouse really to go with a 29-year-old like him. But again, Flores might just have a thing. And if he does, then that's what we see. The guy I would look at actually, though, is Tyus Bowser. And that's it's interesting that, you know, Baltimore would sit there and actually be interested maybe in Kyle Van Noy, because they're letting Matt Judon and Tyus Bowser go. And Tyus Bowser is still only 26 years old. And you know, some guys that don't come from, they come from like Houston or something, like they don't come from the SEC. It just takes a little while, right? It just takes a little bit for the light bulb to come up. And that's what I see with Tyus Bowser. He, you know, took a little while for the light bulb to come on. But the thing is that Kyle Van Noy did a lot more. He had a lot more coverage duty than you might have otherwise thought. Like Kyle Van Noy, he wasn't just a straight up pass rusher dude. He had some coverage duty. Tyus Bowser, superb athlete, still young. And he's really good. He's really actually quite good in coverage. I think he had 3 interceptions this year or something like that. And he's also, he's getting better and better, you know, every year in the run defense and as a pass rusher. And like I said, you know, just sometimes guys like him coming from Houston doesn't, you know, might take a little while. And I think that you saw that light come on for him last year a little bit, and this year more. So I wouldn't be surprised if they've got sort of a thing in mind there with a young guy, maybe some talking that isn't supposed to happen. I don't know. I would look out for him or Jadeveon Clowney, but if that's not the case, then as Simon said, it's probably just going to be a draft thing.
Two other names for you. One would be Matt Milano of the Bills, who's going to get paid. But the thing about Milano is, A, he's a really good player. B, you strengthen your own team by weakening an opponent. You know, and if they're clearing cash, they might be clearing cash for somebody like that. The other guy to look out for in the draft is Charles Snowden of Virginia, who's a 3.5-year starter. He looks physically like Jason Taylor. He's 6'7", 240 pounds. He's a kind of a quarterback hunter from deep. But he plays exactly the same role that Kyle Van Noy played for the same staff at BYU. He's a Kyle Van Noy hybrid. Similar skill set. Like I said, 3.5-year starter, 2-year team captain, kind of alpha personality, really highly regarded. Just keep an eye on him as a guy that, you know, in terms of familiarity with the scheme, in terms of familiarity with the system, might just be a guy on early day 3 that the Dolphins look to bring in, because he can do a number of things. You know, is he a Sam? Is he an end? He's an interesting name to keep an eye on.
Now, naturally, when somebody gets cut and you look at those savings, I think to myself, okay, you know, let's go get a star. Let's go get a clear upgrade. Although, you know, it's kind of off the board because he doesn't really play the same position, doesn't even do many of the same things. And Chris kind of talked me off of it like in about 15 seconds on the WhatsApp chat. But, you know, if I just abandoned it, you know, we wouldn't be doing a podcast. But naturally, I go to a team that's kind of cash-strapped or cap-strapped and, you know, try to vulture some of their talent. Levante David is a star. Why doesn't he fit, Simon?
Why doesn't he fit? I just don't think schematically he's the same. Yeah, he's a tremendous player. I think we've talked on this podcast, we've talked privately, that he might be one of the most underrated players in the last 8-10 years in the NFL in terms of just how good he is. But just schematically, it's just two different styles of play. It's square pegs, round holes. I think the rumor is that he's going to be heading elsewhere because of the cap situation in Tampa. But I just don't see that what he does fits what the Dolphins want to do. I think he's a, you know, you look at someone like the Cleveland Browns, it might be a fit for the Browns. I don't really think it's a fit for the Dolphins. I think, well, Chris makes a really good point about Tyus Bowser. Go on, Chris.
I was just going to say, to your point, Simon, you know, square peg, round hole. You have to look at these. He did 100 pass rush snaps this year. I mean, and that's all the way through the Super Bowl. And he did 820 coverage snaps. I mean, this is not what he is, right? You're going to have him replace a guy who's half pass rush You know, and half up front with basically a 4-3 over linebacker, an off-ball linebacker. It's the who's 6 foot one, runs 6 foot one and 230 pounds. I mean, that's not going to work, and that's and it's also out of Miami's wheelhouse for and by the way, Alf, like, you're not the only. I got asked about Levante David immediately on Twitter about like 30 times.
Yeah, we saw $12.7 million. We said, all right, where's the clear upgrade? My God, there's a star out there.
And I'd been hearing his name even before that, you know, by everybody. I think Omar Kelly is a huge fan, and I get it. He's a really good guy. He's a really good player, but it's not in Miami's wheelhouse to hire, first off, a 31-year-old, you know, 10-year vet.
Yeah.
That's not like them. And second, you know, this is a 6 foot one, 230-pound guy who is not a pass rusher. What are you doing? What are you doing hiring older Jerome Baker? Like, that's why would you do that? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. It doesn't fit. So, no, I don't see that at all. But I, you know, Simon mentioned some draft, prospects. I mean, you know, how good would Jason Owe look, you know, in sort of that role, I think, with how he moves, you know, Aziz Ojulari, you know, Ellerson Smith, maybe somebody like that. Yeah. I think that they're Joseph Osai. I mean, you've gone on about Joseph Osai. Yeah. Right. All over, you know, right. He's a very good player. And so I think there are options in the draft. It doesn't just have to be free agent, doesn't have to be going for, and then, well, I mean, I'll leave you to talk about it, Alf, but there are veterans that we don't know of that are going to be available. Mm. Or like that we don't think of that are going to be available. And maybe Miami just wants to be in a position to scoop one of those up. Like, there's a lot of desperate teams out there, and they're going to be like, I got to give up this guy.
Yeah. And, I think, and next
Miami,
week,
Miami steps right up with all their extra draft picks.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I think next week we're going to be doing a podcast, and we're going to be saying, wow, can you believe that guy got cut?
Mm-hmm. Or traded.
Or traded. Yeah, traded, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and if you look at the sport track list, like, wow, I guess we're going to talk some edge rushers here since we have a little bit of time left. But one guy catches my eye because you got to think that he's had a disappointing career since he was drafted so high. But Solomon Thomas, San Francisco is now officially saying they're not going to bring him back. What happened to his career, Simon? I don't know if you've watched him any closer than I have. He had a promising start to his career, I believe.
A promising finish as well. A promising finish. He actually played really well this year, which was, again, it does make you, it gives you that slightly sort of buyer beware.
Yeah, but only for two games though, right? Didn't he get hurt? Like,
he got banged up. He came back and played.
Banged up real bad.
Yeah, he's had some serious sort of mental health issues off the field and stuff.
Sure.
Tyler Dunn wrote a great piece about him, how he, you know, he literally wanted to die not so long ago. And I just, yeah, I mean, good player, but I just don't think, how much was he the sum of the parts that was around him as well, you know, in terms of the Nick Bosa's and DeForest Buckner's and those kind of guys. I just don't think he ever really trained on from the kid he was at Stanford. I think there was a lot going on behind the scenes that we probably, you know, even now that we don't really know about. There's a little bit of the... who's the tackle that we drafted out of Stanford who had the issue with Richie Uncle?
Jonathan Martin.
I think there's some similarities in their personality in terms of some of the things that were going on off the field. You know, so for me, you know, he's a three technique, I think. And I don't know. To me, I think the Dolphins would not, you know, seems like a great kid, but there's just some other issues. I think they're sort of percolating beyond the, underneath the covers, as it were.
Sometimes when these guys come out, you look at them and if you're saying, man, this guy's really unique, what it actually means is that he's a tweener and he's neither this nor that. And I think that Solomon Thomas honestly is caught right in between that. Like, he is neither this nor that. He's a 6'2", 280-pound guy who is neither a defensive end nor a three technique in the NFL. And I think that I think that's the unfortunate thing. You know, I remember Bill Parcells saying a long time ago, I think it was in response to when he drafted DeMarcus Ware, he's like, you know, listen, if a guy that you draft doesn't remind you of someone that you've coached or played or coached against, that was really good, then that's probably a pretty big red flag. And I think that, you know, Solomon Thomas is just another one bites the dust that you looked at and you're like, oh, this guy's like really unique because of how big he is and how well he moves. And then you're like, yeah, but he was ultimately just a tweener.
Yeah. Now these are two guys. I'm going to mention these two guys on the way out here. And then I guess I'll break a little news, but last year we did a podcast before the season and we were kind of hot on these two guys. They ended up returning to their teams. One got traded in season, and that's Yannick Ngakoue will make it again to free agency. He's only 26 years old, which is insane. Mm-hmm. And Shaq Barrett will make it to free agency. This list keeps getting bigger and bigger. Simon, any interest on either? They figure to be extremely expensive once again.
Yeah, I like Ngakoue, but there's clearly something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. You know, there was issues down the stretch at Jacksonville, which is why he got traded to the Vikings. I mean, what did he play? Half a season before he got traded again?
Yeah, to the Ravens. Now the Ravens don't want him.
And the Ravens don't want him. I mean, if that's not buyer beware, I don't know what it is, because there's clearly something going on behind the scenes. So, yeah, I can't see the Dolphins touching that.
Yeah, and no interest on Shaq Barrett.
Well, what about by the way, the fact that Marion Hobby's not here anymore? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
And that was part of the draw.
I mean, Shaq Barrett, I just think he's going to be just so expensive. I mean, you know, he led the league in sacks 2 years ago. He could have been Super Bowl MVP this year. He's also 29. You know, I mean, just looking at SpotTrack and what his market value is, his market value has got to be in the, I mean, they're saying 4 years, 80 million, average salary, 20 million a year. I mean, Dolphins aren't paying that.
No.
I'll tell you one guy who would be interesting to look out for is, you know, who I suspect will end up getting cut, is our old friend, former New England defensive end who went to the Detroit Lions, Trey Flowers. Wouldn't surprise me if Trey Flowers ended up getting whacked.
Dolphins bit on him this past offseason.
They did. And didn't 2 years ago, was it? So, wouldn't surprise me if there's been rumors about the fact that he might get cut. So, I could absolutely see him ending up in Miami.
I would be floored if he got cut.
I'd be surprised too. But
yeah, I really didn't see that coming. I mean, he's not. I don't think you consider him exactly like a Kyle Van Noy. It's sort of.
Oh no, absolutely.
Like,
I just mean more general. We're talking about ends,
right? And, no, freeing up money for a different guy. You know, but I absolutely, I mean, Miami was interested in him. And I think that there's a reason that they were interested in him. And so if he gets cut, then that'd be a really one to look at, because I mean, Shaq Lawson was all right. Right. Mm-hmm. But
he was wallpaper.
He was all right. What they got to do is
he was all right. He was,
they got to replace pressures now. You know, I mean, you go back to Van Noy and you look in 2019, he had 51.5 disruptions, 7.5 sacks, 18 quarterback hits, 26 pressures. The year before he had 48.5 disruptions. The year before he had 20.5 disruptions in terms of playing stylistically different. We've obviously talked about what he did for Miami. That you've got to make that up somehow. And I almost feel like the defense might take a half a step back this year as the offense takes a step and a half forwards. And it, you know, maybe there'll be some meeting in the middle in terms of the unit. But you know, he was a decent player, and Miami's going to have to find a way to get back what he brought. And what he brought is pressuring the quarterback, which is a valuable commodity in the modern game.
Well, what he brought is the IQ too. That's what I felt. Absolutely. Like he was directing people. He's a smart player. And he knows all the tricks. I mean, that's what smart players do. They know all the tricks. Right. And you could see that in his game. Every time you put it on, it's like, oh man, he's a tricky son of a bitch, isn't he? You know, that's what he did. But I think Miami in the end decided, you know, a tricky guy isn't worth that much. So they're gonna try and get something maybe younger, maybe more physically impressive for their money.
Maybe this says a lot more about me than it does Kyle Van Noy, but my one memory from this past season from Kyle Van Noy was that he dropped what would have been a game-winning interception against the Buffalo Bills in week
three. Yeah, that was tough.
That was tough. That ball was
if he caught that, you think, does he get cut today if he caught that?
Well, if he catches that, we likely beat Buffalo. And
we make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, because then the last game doesn't matter. We have 11 wins going into the last game. You know,
so who knows?
You never know.
So does he get cut?
That's the thing, right? If he catches that, what the only thing that really happens is that we have a 10-point lead with 6 minutes left against Buffalo at home. Do we hold on? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. Do we hold on? Because they did score 2 touchdowns late. So, and we ended up losing by a field goal. So I don't know. If we hold on, that's 11 wins. You know, but that's what I remember Kyle Van Noy from. Now, all right, to close, I spoke to somebody and we were bandying about, you know, certain names. And this person had heard that the Dallas Cowboys will seek to remedy their cap issues, which are plentiful, by making 2 particular players available. Both of them would help Miami immensely. One has what I consider maybe the worst contract in the NFL, and that's DeMarcus Lawrence. And the other one is a guy that I would take in a heartbeat, and that's Michael Gallup. Thoughts on both players, Simon, and you know, what can you do to get those guys if they do become available? Or is Dallas completely fooling themselves that they're going to get something for those guys in this climate?
I think they'd get something for Gallup. I'm not sold that they'll get, you know, that it would be an issue almost of having to buy that contract. I think Gallup's a really good player. And obviously with the drafting of CeeDee Lamb, it kind of makes him expendable, I suppose. Although, you know, there's nothing wrong with having 3 and 4 really good receivers, you know, because that's the game is all about matchups. You get, you know, you're getting CeeDee Lamb on the number 3 corner, or you get Michael Gallup on the number 3 corner, then that's a win. You know, I mean, what I think you'll probably find is we'll end up getting some player for player trades. You know, you look at, for example, would Dallas trade, and I'm just picking names here, but would Dallas trade Michael Gallup for Stephon Gilmore, for example? You know, they need help at cornerback. The Patriots have been trying to get out from under Gilmore and his contract. You know, is that a value trade? I think that's, you know, you'll see some of those just straight up player for player deals. As for Lawrence, again, I just don't think, you know, he's not going to restructure his contract. Why would he? He's a really good player, but
he's restructured it twice already.
Yeah, I can't see the Dolphins buying that. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, Chris.
Well, keep in mind about DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, what did they end up saving really on Kyle Van Noy? Yeah, I mean, there's the cap number that they saved for this year, but I mean the cash number of what they saved. I think it was larger than that. I think it was like something like 12, but I can't
quote it. 12.5 it was.
Yeah, I wanted to say it was 12.5. So keep in mind that the contract that you're talking about that's so bad for DeMarcus Lawrence is really just a $17 million base salary. To the team that's trading for him, it's a $17 million base salary, which is bad. Like, I don't love paying $17 million, but we just talked about how Shaq Barrett's going to get 20. You know, so I mean, and we're talking about a contract that is, I guess, $4.5 million more than what you were going to pay Kyle Van Noy for DeMarcus Lawrence, as opposed to Kyle Van Noy. You know, so there's that sort of way to look at it. So maybe not completely no on that. We'll see. It just depends how desperate are the Cowboys to get out from under it. And because the $17 million salary fully guarantees on March 22nd.
It's the fourth highest non-quarterback cap hit in the league.
Yeah, but that's the cap hit. Because they've restructured him a couple of times. Every time you do that, it's bad news. Like for your cap hits. Yeah, but I mean, they trade him to Miami. Miami's like, well, we're just on the hook for the 17, you know, the 17.0. And then there's out, you know, basically, you know, if you don't want to pay 2022's 19 or 2023's 21 million, you don't have to. you know. So you can always just get out of it. So maybe you know, Gallup is the guy they would have to give up. I think they would have to give up some stuff for that. And I'm not sure if I see Miami doing that. They're very I don't know. They hold on to their draft capital. It'd have to be something that really makes a lot of sense, and they might be choosy about that. But who knows?
But yeah, we wish Cal Van Noy well. He was nice to me when he was down here. Good guy. Spoke to him a couple of times at camp. I wish him well. I hope he doesn't go to the Patriots, though. But that's it.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.